Exodus chapter 32, verse 7 through verse 10, a pretty simple title message, How, H-O-W, three letters, How. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They've turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They've made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now these are two incredible verses to me, verse 9 and verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. How is it that we go through life without God day by day? I read a message by J.C. Philpott this morning, and he said most folks, religion to them are like their clothes. They put on these clothes that aren't very comfortable, and they wear them to church on a Sunday, and then as soon as they get out of church, they put on real comfortable clothes, and they fold up the uncomfortable clothes, and they put them in the drawer for the rest of the week. I wrote down a quote from that message I read early this morning, and he said, I believe that there are many people who cannot sin comfortably until they've said their prayers. And that's the way that I feel it most. So how is it that we go through life day by day without God, giving very little thought concerning the things of God? How is it that we're not led of Him all day long, every day, even in our sleep? David said upon my bedstead, he said, even in bed, there. And I don't want to get too deep into this, and we could sit and argue it. And I believe this, I believe that's a mid-range, which means that you need to take it in consideration, that there must be a metaphysical aspect of our walk with God. The new birth is not simply a mental ascent. And that's what I want to get into this morning. Is the new birth and religion. Philpott knew this almost 200 years ago. It's not just a mental ascent. It's not an agreement of terms. We know that nature is physical. I feel like far too often most people that claim to be Christians, what they're really worshiping is God's creation and not God. So you might say they're worshiping nature, okay? But nature is physical. And it's a hard reality. My natural birth, when I was born naturally, a girl can attest, she just had a baby, it's a hard reality, okay? My new birth must also be a hard reality. Not simply a new way of thinking. Not simply acknowledging God. Not simply now I follow these rules or these guidelines. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a learned theology. That's the way most folks have, is a learned theology, but that's not what it is. It is, in fact, a new birth. The birth of a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, you hear me. When I graduate college, I'm the same person as I always was. I simply, hopefully, know more than I did before I entered, you see. And as I age, I gain new insight, and I gain new experience, and I gain new knowledge, and I read books, and I ordered a book today. It's supposed to be, and I read books. I met a man yesterday, and he professes to have read 18,000 books. I'm certain that's so. I'm absolutely certain that he's read 18,000 books, okay? And he had a book with him on calculus. And I ordered that book. Supposed to have it tomorrow. Okay? So I'll know more than I know now. But that's not the new birth, you see. Men go through all types of programs for change in their lives. And there is change. And often it's a dramatic change, okay? But it's not nature that's changed. It's simply their thought process. I encountered that. I've told you many times. I've spoken in basic training in the military. Man, I changed dramatically, okay? But my nature didn't change. Perhaps we could call it molding, okay? As we're molded in our educations and stuff. I believe that we are products of our environments. We absolutely are. You're going to kind of, you know, as we say down here in Texas, you know, the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, he's a chip off the old block. Yeah, he is. And much of that has to do with, you know, that's how Hitler transformed Germany in the 1930s. He simply molded them into what he appealed to, what they wanted. And I employ a profession. We do this every day. We do the same thing, bringing men around to our way of thinking. I told a man this morning, I said, I'm too bluntly spoken. I'm too bluntly honest. I'm too open with my thoughts to be a politician. I couldn't run for office. And reason I don't have a big church, I'm not going to tell them what they want to hear. You know, there were a million Jews in that desert over 3,500 years ago, and it's an amazing thing. They go from God, all the miracles, 10 or 11, 12, whatever the number of the miracles in Egypt and all these things. They walk through the dry land and to a golden calf, and really just the blink of an eye. Like they go from God to a golden calf. These be thy gods, O Israel. A golden calf. Well, that's man. And our enemy knows this. And that's why even preachers fall overnight. This guy's been preaching. Man, he'd been preaching 20, 30 years and he fell. Got a call about a preacher in Mexico that just happened to. He fell. I said, let me guess, a woman. They go, yeah. Yeah, he fell overnight. Okay? The natural mind of man is extremely pliable. Okay? Extremely. That knowledge of good and evil vacillates readily. And even more so, nobody else tell you this, even more so in women. That's why they must be covered by the man. Even more so in women. The lost nature opens to new vistas at what we call in this life puberty. When this physical body is turned on and new desires enter, you see. We've all, except for those of us that are grown, we went through this. And it's sad to me that we employ natural means in religion today to convince people that they are Christians. And we do. And that was the essence of the message I read by Philpott this morning. That we use all these natural means to convince people that we use pomp and ceremony. We might even use a robe, an altar, a pulpit, a pew, a steeple, a cross, a church. We do certain things and we do things a certain way. Like the quote that I read you by Philpott, you see? They pray so they can sin. Or they sin so they can pray. And we speak of heaven and hell and good and evil. And we appeal to the conscience. Who's not sorry for the things they've done? And so we say we're sorry. We make professions of faith. And we declare ourselves Christians. But you see, the problem is, that's not a new nature. That's not the new birth. A man can accomplish these things in almost any field of endeavor or interest. And there's a reason for that. And that's what I'm going to tell you this morning. How? None of these experiences, none of these knowledges, none of these growths involve death to sin. Death to sin. How shall we that are dead to sin, Paul asks in Romans 6:2, how? Live any longer there? How? He's asking the question. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I don't find any religion on earth that'll broach such a concept of death to sin. 1 Timothy 3:6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. I'm sorry. 1 John 3:6. And in 1 John 3:9, he said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. I don't know a denomination. I don't know a church. I don't know a religion on earth that will touch these scriptures. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Why don't they? Well, they can't, you see, as even most that preach the new birth have yet to experience such. Religious experience? Yes. Knowledge? Yeah. Sorrow? Yes. Mental assent? Yes. Emotions toward even God? Yeah, they have emotion. People have these great, I've seen them bawl at the altar. But the new birth? No. Saul, King Saul, he experienced the Spirit of God came upon him. Is Saul among the prophets? And so you can have these religious experiences. Even the Spirit of God affect you. Today, a popular word is appropriation. Well, perhaps we should use that in our mix. Christian appropriation. We appropriate Christianity. But it's not the new birth. And that's why I don't fill the church or practice appealing to men's emotions in my ministry. You see, my great-great-uncle Jonah said salvation is of the Lord. Amen, Uncle Jonah. Faith cometh by hearing. So I tell you, and you believe me. Amen. But that's not the new birth. You see, the new birth is Christ in you. If any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. And the old things are passed away and all things become new, are become new. Believing in Christ and Christ in you are two vastly different things. The devils believe and tremble. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 20. He said, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, look, through the knowledge, and that's what happens. That's what happens in our religion. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They get this knowledge. I know about this. I did it. I got this knowledge and I escaped the pollutions of the world. And I again became entangled. And entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And it was. It was horrible. And there's 9 out of 10 I've met in the walk right there. Told you, A.W. Pink said he believed that 9 out of 10 were lost. And he wasn't talking about people out there in the world. He was talking about the people in the church. Now, I'd like to speak to you about something that's greatly misunderstood. In Christ, the veil of the Old Testament is removed. And that's how I came upon this message this morning I read by Philpott. because I had already finished this message, obviously. And I went and I looked up a scripture on the veil, and this message came up, and I said, I want to read. And I liked the message. I read the message to Melissa. So the veil of the testament is removed. Now listen to me. So is the knowledge of good and evil. It must be. You say, preacher, you better watch what you say. Well, I usually do watch what I say. And you heard me right. Because, and you say, well, what? How do you back this up? Well, all things become lawful. 1 Corinthians 6:12. I'm not smart enough, but God is, and the Bible is. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me. You see that? All things. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. All things become lawful. All things are lawful unto me. I become a law unto myself. Romans 2:14. For when the Gentiles, hello, that'd be me, which have not the law, do by nature, by what? Oh, by nature. A new nature. The things contained in the law, these having not the law, are law unto themselves. When I received the new birth, I became a law unto myself. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 12. And the law is not of faith. Do you see that? But the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. Look at verse 23 and verse 25 in Galatians 3. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Faith is not the law. Before faith, that's two different things. Before faith. And then verse 25, he says, but after faith has come, we're no longer under schoolmaster. We're not under this law. Why do I need a law? And that's the new birth. And most either can't or will not preach that. They can't. How? How shall we dare to say it? It's a liberty only for the born again, those in Christ. Why on God's earth would a born again child of God, dead to sin, need a law? I'm asking you. My nature, my knowledge is now of God. It's the entire essence of the New Testament. But it's not preached like that. You see, it's too exclusive. It's too inclusive. Go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, my favorite book, my favorite chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I know you, I quote it all the time. I wish you'd learn it. But ye are not in the flesh. Can't preach that. Oh, I'm just flesh. Well, you should get born again. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's what? He's none of his. Doesn't belong to him. Not his. You see that? Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become what? Dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. Even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And back in Romans 8, verse 29 and verse 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also purified, and them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And time would preclude me from mentioning all, it's throughout the New Testament. And Jesus said it all in five words: ye must be born again. You must. Like the old preacher said, why do you say it? He said, because you must be born again. How come are you always telling us we must be? Because you must be born again. You must. You can turn to Matthew chapter 7. We read Matthew 7 many times. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out even devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work evil. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, he said, think not, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And of course, back over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 7 and 8. And to you who are troubled, he said, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why I preach as I do. Because you see, I know what happens when you pour new wine in old bottles. And I've watched it throughout this whole walk of faith. And denominations and religions, they do this all the time. And that's why I don't answer foolish and unlearned questions. I don't argue with people about religion. I don't care what you believe. That's your business. That's your business. And until God removes that veil, you're wasting your time. And I wrote here a little note. I said, truth is, I'm not sure I should have even spoken what I've said this morning. How can I really expound upon my new birth any more than my natural birth? It happened. I was there. But they're both supernatural. Is not the breath of life supernatural? That I get born and the breath of life comes into me? How shall I speak of the supernatural if you've no understanding of even the natural? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I'm asking you. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You tell me and then I'll tell you. Now you may consider my text choice a little bit unusual. But I find no better verse to make my point. You have to read it very carefully. He said that my wrath may wax hot. That's God. And he's speaking with Moses just as you and I would speak, as two men speaking to one another. And that I may consume them. The very definition of faith, evidence of things not seen, you see. A spirit of works. A real event. Emotion. God spoke of emotion. I'm mad. Let me destroy these people. God asking Moses. And Moses deals with God. And it seems that he talks him out of it. No, wait a minute. And there's this word, I'm not going to preach that this morning, but there's a special word for that. Because we know that God deals with men in certain ways. Abraham dealt with God. David dealt with God. Moses dealt with God. And different men dealt with God. They dealt with God. Hey, wait a minute, how about if we do this? And there's a word for that, and it has to do with the fact that God, through his mercy and grace, he speaks to us and in a way and in a language that we can understand. I told you I just ordered a book that has to do with calculus. Well, yeah, how are you going to speak that in an understanding way? He's the creator of all things. So you might say, when you speak to this boy, you don't speak to him the same way I hope that you speak to me. You see. So I ask, what are you? 2 Corinthians 13:5, quoted all the time, you know, examine yourselves. Know ye not your own self if Christ be in you. And I'd like to close with just a few scriptures, and then we're done. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting in verse 3. We'll go down through verse 11. I want to read all the way down to verse 11 because it's the point. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. And then finally, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. Peter said, as also in all his epistles, speaking of Paul, speaking them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Yeah, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. That's the way I found most men with the word of God. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Do you see? You must be born again. That veil must be taken away. That Old Testament veil of law. And you must become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Not in the flesh. Dead to sin. Born of God. And those aren't religious thoughts. It's not a knowledge. It's not an assent. It's a new creature in Christ Jesus. I ask you, how? How?